Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sam Martin, the veteran, for the punt, and Marcus Jones. There was no fair catch at the 12, and he squeezes out of it. Marcus Jones down the sideline. Blockers in front, past the punter. Marcus Jones, and that's a punt return for a touchdown.
High noon, Jones and Keefe, Patriots Monday. Patriots with a beatdown of the Panthers yesterday, 42-13. Which they needed, let's face it.
Big time.
They needed a game like that. We've been breaking it down all day long. You continue to react at 617-779-7937. We do have thoughts on the Red Sox and the Yankees. Their series gets underway tomorrow here on WEI. We'll do that later on this hour. Grab bag, clip du jour, all that coming your way later on in the show as well. But this win yesterday, Keith, starting with that Marcus Jones return.
Yep.
That really turned the entire game. They started flat. It looked like Carolina was having their way with them offensively against that Pats defense. They were. Then they couldn't convert on a third down. They punt to Marcus Jones. The whole game turns right there.
It felt like deja vu early on because we had highlighted you have three home games in your first four, and it was just terrible starts by the offense and the defense. You give up a long drive, and then you give the ball right back, and you're like, really? Like, the Carolina? And then the defense, their second possession, they force the punt. Marcus Jones brings it back. And because Carolina had missed the extra point, like, just like that, you have the lead. And you're like, oh. And then from there, it was just all Patriots the rest of the way. But last week, we talked about it a lot, how knowing that Buffalo is looming, the difference of a 1-3 start with three losses at home versus a 2-2 start, it's only one game, and yet it feels like 20 games. Like, it just, it's so much different to look in the standings, to see them at 2-2 ahead of the Jets and Dolphins who play tonight, but both are 0-3. And you're like, all right, you have a little separation there between those teams. And as much as we're going to look back, I feel like, and say, man, Raiders, you could have beaten the Raiders, or the Steelers could have beaten the Steelers. To say that about the Panthers would have been way over the top. The way they're going, the way their season is headed. So, yeah, this was one that they had to have. It's always silly to say any game is a must win in September, but just the way everything had lined up, it kind of was. And they get out to a little bit of a slow start, but then after that, it was just they just rolled. And that was great to see. The team desperately needed it, and they got it. So credit to them for that.
Yeah, I mean, nitpicks would be start the game on time, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And they still feel overly penalized to start these games, but those are gripes and nitpicks. They have more penalties and more penalty yards than Carolina yesterday. And again, it felt like it was clustered early on in the game. But they won going away against a team I think they needed to show themselves.
Yeah.
We don't need to barely squeak by against a team like Miami in week two. That's a game that the way it started, you thought was going to be a blowout. And then you actually had to out-execute them down the stretch, and you had to get stops late in the game, and that game was closer than it probably should have been.
But this one was over at halftime. It
Pittsburgh,
might have been
Pittsburgh
halftime.
Because of the turnovers, was way closer. Yeah. You should have blown that team out.
You should have.
And so I think it was important for them to prove they could blow out a team like this, and I agree. It was over at halftime, and credit to them. They kept the throttle down, and they didn't let Carolina up off the mat like they let Miami up off the mat, or like they let Pittsburgh up off the mat with a million turnovers. This team, they kept down. And I think it's important they prove to themselves they can do it, even though it was a bad team on the other side. They proved they can do it.
But that was also the formula for most people that had them winning a lot of games and maybe even grabbing the third wild card spot. That was sort of the expectation for a lot of people. And one of the reasons, like, well, why do you think they're going to be so good? It's like, well, look at who they're playing.
Right.
And, like, they it just lined up perfectly where they play mostly trash bag teams. And the argument going into the season was, well, aren't they also a trash bag team? Or, like, what did they do enough to sort of move up from that a year ago? So it's an all-new coaching staff. They spent a lot of money specifically on defense. But then you're also hoping that the year two quarterback takes a jump. And so far, we've seen that. Like, so far, the quarterback has taken a jump. I think the defense, hit or miss. There's been good moments. There's been bad moments. They do get Gonzalez back this week, so that's obviously going to help the team going forward. But, yeah, we've at least seen the team step forward. Even last week, the offense was bad because of the turnovers. They didn't really, like, they stopped themselves. It wasn't like they punted a lot. Like, they turned it over a lot. So we've seen three straight games where, and I know, don't get me wrong, Drake May against Pittsburgh was also part of the turnover problem. But we've seen him kind of put together some pretty consistent play over the last 3 weeks. And if you get that, you're going to win a lot of these games against the middle and certainly the bottom of the league.
Yeah, I mean, May, you could argue he had his best game as a pro yesterday. And if it wasn't yesterday, then it was 2 weeks prior against the Dolphins. And the fact that we can have that debate every couple of games with him is a good sign for where that's developing and where it's going.
This is a good text. I didn't think they could score 42 points in two games, never mind one.
Right.
Oh, it's true.
We've seen a lot of, it took them, what, 5 weeks to score 5 touchdowns last year? They scored 6 yesterday.
There you go.
So good stat. Good, great stat.
The Nick stat of the day.
Nick stat of the
day. Early nominee for stat of the week. No, didn't we find out Dan Patrick is the stat of the day? So we're out on that.
Yeah, well, stat of the day.
Nominee stat of the week?
Nominee stat of the week.
That's a nominee, Nick.
Put it in there. I was looking at this. I don't know if it's stat of the week nominee. I don't want to rain on Nick's parade
Nick
over there.
Nick just had one up him.
Okay. It's the earliest in the year they've gotten their second win since 2020. Does that make sense?
No, it's too many words.
So
Nick's is way snappier.
Last year, they didn't get their second win until week 8.
They were 1-7, in other words?
Okay. 1-6.
They were 1-6, and then they got to 2.
Correct. Yeah. 2023, they didn't get their second win until week 7. They were 1-5 entering that game.
All right.
2022, their second win came week 5. That was with Bailey Zappi. 2021, their second win came week 5.
Some slow starts is what you're saying.
Last time they had two wins in the first 3 weeks with Cam Newton, believe it or not, in 2020. That's the last time they did it this early in the year.
That was a COVID year, Jones.
It was. Yeah. So I don't even know if you recognize that.
No, so I don't.
Then you got to go. Then you got to go back to the Brady era, Keith, to get this many wins this early in the year.
There's nobody in the stands then.
Was yesterday more about the Pats or more about the Panthers?
So I think it's about the Pats. I'm going to give the Pats credit because the Panthers aren't the only bad team. There's a lot of bad teams. And so, yeah, there obviously has to be some of that. When you look at Dave Canales, maybe a little in over his head. Bryce Young, I've never thought was a good quarterback, even going back to college. Tet McMillan is clearly their best receiver. He's also, you know, a rookie. And Chuba Hubbard is very much an average back. That's just their offense. So I don't think that they were great. But the Patriots also didn't just eke past them. You know, and the Panthers are even coming off a win. Like, it just shows, like, the NFL is so up and down.
A dominant win.
They won 30-0 against Michael Penix Jr.
Another team on the Pats schedule.
Who
they
faced.
Yeah.
That's my point. So it's like, they didn't just eke past, and it wasn't just Carolina giving them the game. Like, the Patriots made some plays, and then once they got a lead, yeah, it was comfortable, and it was a little bit of cruise control, and they were able to, you know, the game never got competitive, but... No, I'm going to give the Patriots credit for this one. They went out there, and after a very slow start on both sides, then they dominated. Like, the rest of the game, Drake May was super efficient. The defense stepped up and was good. Special teams, obviously, was a turning point in the game. So, no, this was a good game. I give them credit for it.
So, me too. And even if you answer it differently than you and I, Keith, and you say, well, it's about the Panthers and the bad schedule. As we've told you 8,000 different times.
Get ready for
since
every week
the schedule
after
came out. The whole schedule, there's tons of games like this.
Yeah.
So even if it is just an overwhelmed bad opponent, well, and the Patriots prove they can beat up on what's left on the schedule. As you said earlier, it's Buffalo this week, Buffalo a second time, Baltimore and Tampa. Those are pretty much the good teams left on the entire schedule. So proving you could do that against an overmatched team. And just winning at home, which they haven't done enough of the last few years.
Needed that one.
All of that's important. So I do think it was more about the Patriots than the Panthers. If this were a game where you're holding on at the end and Carolina makes some sort of comeback, maybe I'd answer differently.
Well, even Miami. Like, Miami, you were thrilled to take the win, but you're like, well, like,
the Dolphins are bad.
Dolphins are pretty bad.
So I that's the perfect example. Yeah. If they played the same way, meaning, like, the Dolphins were hanging around and still knocking on the door late and you couldn't put Carolina away, maybe I'd say yesterday was more about the opponent than it was about the Pats. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way. I think it's worth giving them credit for the way they came out, because I wasn't sure. Going in, I'm like, they could lose this game and be 1-3, and now the season feels like it's over going into Buffalo Week 5. And to their credit, they didn't do it. I didn't think everything was perfect.
No.
Carolina is definitely terrible.
Sure.
But I think yesterday was more about them. They showed they can beat up on a bad opponent, which I wasn't sure they could do.
Yeah, it was a great bounce back for Drake May, who, you know, was awesome in Week 2, and then in Week 3 had some really good plays, but also the turnovers bit him. And I know people tried to explain away, like, well, the ball was tipped. It's like, well, he threw an interception in the end zone. I'm going to hold that against him. That was a bad decision by him. So I think we even talked about it on Friday, like, are you going to get the no turnover game from Drake May? And you did. And, you know, credit to him, credit to the offensive line as well. Like, they were able to keep him protected, even with Jared Wilson down. So he was super efficient in the game. The defense only allowed 2 touchdowns. Like, I mean, 13 points allowed. You're going to win a lot of games like that, even if you don't think the offense is a top 10 offense, which I don't think they are either. But if they're a middle-of-the-pack offense and the defense is giving up 13 points or less, like, you're going to win a lot of those games.
617-779-7937. What sort of team does Mike Vrabel have through the first month? This is what he had to say after the game last night.
Well, then when we don't beat ourselves and we take care of the football and we play complimentary football and we get stops on third down, the return, you know, I mean, the special teams are a factor, and we score touchdowns in the red zone, that, you know, it can look like something. So, again, that's not guaranteed every week, but certainly we can see the difference in how critical those phases are and putting them all together.
So, look, every week you're not going to get a team that keeps kicking to Marcus Jones over and over and over again. Moronic Carolina team.
I love it.
Hopefully in the future, starting with, oh, I don't know, Sunday night, the Patriots actually don't let the other team march right down their throats to start the game. Hopefully they clean up penalties. But we said going into the game, it's a huge week for Vrabel. How does the team respond to him? His whole operation is on trial. For the second time in 4 weeks, we're questioning the whole thing top to bottom. And just like they answered against Miami, although this time was in much more impressive fashion, just like they answered against the Dolphins the last time we asked the question, hey, like, is this going to get away from Vrabel early? The team answered the bell. And so I think what we learned about Mike Vrabel is he's not going to let it be a full-blown disaster. Mayo, it became a full-blown disaster.
Yeah, because it was teetering. Like, it was like this. That's how important this game was.
Yes.
Because it was like, all right, how much better is it? Like, we're still asking ourselves that. And he even gets the benefit of more money spent on the team roster-wise. Like, the talent was better for this team. Also, whether you love, like, or dislike McDaniels, he's an experienced offensive coordinator as opposed to Alex Van Pelt. So, like, Vrabel, just the head coach, he's swapping out the head coach. He is set up for more success. And if you're staring down the barrel of maybe a 1-3 start both years, you're like, what is it you do?
And he has May right from the start. Remember, Mayo didn't get Drake May to start the year last year. He had Jacoby Brissett that he had to deal with. Yeah. So, yeah, he's in a way better spot. But the question was, will the team respond? And they did. And I wasn't sure what he'd do with Ramondre Stevenson.
All right, what do you think of that?
I didn't like it.
Me neither.
But it worked. You know, so I mean,
they won the game.
Is that how I would have handled it? No. But Stevenson was fine when he was out there. He didn't fumble. He got way more
one
touches.
Big carry. Yeah.
He had way more touches than I would have given him. He got the first touch of the game. Like, I wouldn't have done any of that, but it worked. I think the way he handled Pop Douglas is closer to what I would have done. Again,
he
I wouldn't have addressed him.
It, yeah.
But he was barely out there. So both of those things were on trial,
yeah,
and he passed those tests. They still didn't clean up penalties. They did clean up turnovers,
oh, yeah,
and they got the win. And they're not 1-3 going into Buffalo. So I think what we learned is Vrabel's not going to let it be a disaster, and I didn't know that going into the game, and I'll give him that.
You know, when he was asked about Ramondre Stevenson before, he was saying how they're going to play their best players, and I think he still views Ramondre Stevenson as one of their best players, whereas Pop Douglas, he doesn't. And so that's why you saw, like, Kayshon Boutte, despite not coming up with a lot of catches, he played the most snaps. They feel like he's been solid for him. Steph Diggs has gotten his play elevated. Mac Hollins, I think, is at least a good baseline receiver. They don't think Pop Douglas is that good. Otherwise, he'd be playing more, right? Like, so how it ended against Pittsburgh was brutal, and like we all got to see that part of it. But he barely played against Miami, too. Like, he was already getting phased out prior to that. So I think even yesterday isn't a punishment for that play, even though you and I are like, get him off the team, for God's sakes. I just think he's getting phased out because they don't really – he and Drake May don't have very good chemistry. There's more of an upside, it feels like, for this season getting Steph Diggs involved than it would be for Pop Douglas.
Well, and you just said it. Diggs got 7 looks, 6 catches, 101 yards. He did look more explosive. I don't think he looked explosive at all the first 3 weeks of the year, so I don't think that was hard to do. But the longer he plays after the surgery, probably the more some of that should come back. It won't all come back. But he had a 33-yarder. He had a back shoulder catch on 4th down. I mean,
May only threw 17 times.
Well, no one really got a ton of targets. Booty had 3. Henry and Henderson had 2. Nobody else had more than 1.
Yeah, and Pop had 0.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't like anybody else was really getting looks. It was all hyper-focused to Diggs, which I do think getting Pop Douglas out of the way allows you to streamline that.
Definitely.
Which is one of the things we were calling for during the week. And lo and behold, I think they didn't need to do more than they did yesterday. As you just said, they barely threw. May yesterday had as many touchdowns, if you count the rushing touchdown, 3, as he had in completion. So it was an efficient day. And I think you shouldn't be surprised that they're more efficient when they're targeting guys like Stephon Diggs instead of guys like Pop Douglas, who have given you no production and doesn't even know where the sticks are on big situations.
Right. And it's funny because when they first acquired Diggs, and then when, you know, McDaniels came over, you're like, oh, he's going to get a lot out of Pop Douglas. And then you realize, well, Diggs is going to line up in the slot a lot. Pop Douglas isn't exactly Welker and Edelman. So it's like it hasn't been the fit that I think a lot of people thought it was going to be. So you kind of get him out, and now Diggs is more taking on that role, which I think is good. And like just in the game yesterday, he's got more of a connection with Diggs in the brief time he's been with him than he does with Pop Douglas.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, that's a no-brainer.
I mean, you highlighted that a bunch last week. That's something that hasn't looked right at all in these games. It looked fine in the preseason. It looked fine in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually get to games, they haven't been on the same page. May and Diggs are. So I hope they lean into that more going into his return on Sunday night in Buffalo. 617-779-7937. What does the win say about Mike Vrabel? Was yesterday more about the Patriots or the Panthers? We both agree. Says more about the Pats than it does about Carolina, but perhaps you disagree. Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get into Drake May, his performance, and his development. We'll get into the offense. What is the ceiling for the offense, and do we need to revise that upward? Again, with all your feedback coming up. But right after Trending with Billy Lanny, let's get into the Red Sox and the Yankees. Wild card matchup beginning tomorrow in the Bronx.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitch to Sadon. He's swung on and driven. High and deep into center field. It's at the track. It is at the wall. Off the wall. Romy's coming in third. The Red Sox are going to the playoffs. Sadon. Say hello to October. It's a 4-3 walk-off winner.
Oh, we got what we wanted, Keith.
Sure did.
Red Sox back in the postseason. And we get the Yankees, which is exactly
what we wanted.
Exact, not just from a buzz,
no,
interest level, talk radio standpoint.
It's who they're going to beat.
But I think it's the best matchup on the field. I do.
I agree. I didn't want anything to do with Cleveland because Cleveland's under some sort of witchcraft, black magic that I don't want to even go up against.
And make that clear. I don't think they're very talented.
Yeah.
But that's the team. That's a buzzsaw you don't want to deal with right now.
By the way, their team's nasty, right? And I talked about my trip to Cleveland brag earlier in the year where it was $2 beers and Emmanuel Class A jerseys.
Yep.
Which he's now suspended from baseball.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
Still have the jersey, though.
Yeah.
So my buddy who lives down there, he texted me over the weekend, and he's like,
I'm sick brag, bro.
He's like, I'm at the game again. He took a picture. He's out in center field. He's like, not only is it $2 beers, it's $1 hot dogs.
Man.
They're like on their way to winning the World Series, and he's eating $1 dogs, drinking $2 beers.
That's living.
It is living.
That's living.
It tastes better at the ballpark, the dogs and the beers,
they
and
do.
He was just having a blast. And so I didn't want to face them. Detroit, I don't know, the Red Sox didn't have the best head-to-head this season with Detroit.
No, they ended up 2-4 against them.
So I would rather face the Blue Jays or the Yankees. And I'm like, you know what? I'd rather face the Yankees. Yeah, Skubal, I know what you're going to say.
Skubal's just the neutralizer with Crochet, where you're like, if he's on his game, and who knows how he's going to pitch after his last outing against Cleveland, he melted down.
Yeah.
But if he's on his game, that's a guy who can offset Crochet.
Now, obviously, I would rather this series at Fenway, but the last couple of weeks, it felt like, all right, they're going to be on the road for the wild card round. And which one of four possibilities would you have? And out of the four, this is the one that I wanted the most.
Same.
They dominated them during the regular season. You have a huge advantage with Crochet. Aaron Judge isn't the greatest postseason performer of all time, despite being one of the best baseball players in the last decade. He's not great in the postseason. The rest of their lineup is better than I gave it credit for. Like, during the season, I'm like, they're a one-man team. And then you look at it, you're like, well, no, Jazz Chisholm's like 30-30. Bellinger had a good
Stanton
year.
Stanton hits bombs. Yeah. Bellinger's good.
It's definitely better
30,
than I thought.
30, as you just said. Ben Rice. But, so they have some guys.
But they also, their best pitchers are lefties, and the Red Sox have had some good lefty killer lineups. And so I'll take my chances against the Yankees.
So, agreed. And the other piece to it is, if you advance... And again, the Red Sox haven't been here since they redid the format in baseball. But just know, if you were unaware, they don't reseed. You know who's waiting for you in the next round. It's the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So it's Yankees, where you have Crochet tomorrow night in game one. Win that. You just got to split the other two. And then it's Toronto. And that's your path to the ALCS,
maybe,
which is very, very, very manageable. It doesn't mean they do it. It doesn't mean they get there, but... I don't know. That's about as good of a road as you could expect there.
And it's probably our two biggest rivals, right? You have the Yankees and Canada.
All of Canada.
The whole country.
And their lack of baseball IQ, which they take very personally.
They do. They're still mad at Brian Roberts. Poor Brian Roberts. Gets his name on the Mitchell Report. Now Canada hates him.
Now all of Canada's upset with him, yeah.
No, but this is super exciting, and it was an exciting way to get into the playoffs, too. Now, you might say, well, if you're in, you're in. But the last couple of days... that we were on the air, it was like, it could be very anticlimactic. Like the Houston Astros could just lose another game and then you make the playoffs. And then you're like doing like a weird champagne celebration when you lost, but so did the Astros late at night against the Angels. That would have been for the birds. Instead, you have another walk-off. This team suddenly has had a million walk-offs this year.
The way they got in.
You could truly say, you're allowed to really celebrate that. And they did, by the way. They went nuts.
Oh, they did. It was great. Friday night was great. And it wasn't a fun watch initially. Like, my guy Harrison's out there.
Oh, you're down 3-0, and you're like, oh, I'm going to have to stay up and watch the Astros game?
He's mowing him down
Harrison
to start.
Stinks.
He's mowing him down to start. I'm like, here we go. He's going to jam it in everybody's
Stinky.
Face. He's going to jam it in Nick's face. And then next thing you know, it's just walk, walk, hit.
What was that, 10 base runners
walk,
in 3 innings?
Hit. Yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, there's a lot happening.
Look, let me give Cora this. I've been very critical of Cora
ahead,
all
please.
Year. Cora on Friday was awesome.
Oh, he managed his tail
and
off.
And if you want to point to the Red Sox and why they could go on a run in the postseason, if that's how Cora's going to manage a regular season game, if he's going to manage like that in the postseason,
it'll be even more aggressive.
I'll be on board with everybody who said Cora's a difference maker. I haven't seen enough of that in 4 or 5, even going back to 2018. It's been a long time since I've seen Cora make any kind of difference. Friday night, you saw it. Friday night is what people talk about when they talk about him as being worth $7 million a year and one of the best managers in the game. You saw it.
I wouldn't be shocked if in the playoffs at some point, if they advance past this round and then are still going, where they might close out a game Crochet, Whitlock, Chapman.
Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me at all.
Not
We've
at
seen
all.
It before because Whitlock and Chapman, just those two guys alone give you such a huge advantage. Like, we've seen a lot of playoff teams, Red Sox teams, for example, too, that when they have guys like that can just shut down a game, It makes the job easier for the manager. Now, if the starter gets knocked out early, okay, then it's like all hands on deck. Let's figure out how you get those middle innings done. But Whitlock and Chapman have just been so dominant this year. And then their lineup is wild because with no Roman Anthony, you look at it and you're like, well, you know, on paper, there's no Manny Ramirez. There's no David Ortiz. And yet they have so many guys that have signature moments. Like Rafaela walks it off to get him in there. But Narvaez has had big games. Freaking Nathaniel Lowe has had big games. They've had a lot of games. Got a lot of different players get game winners this year.
We talked about this last week when they were in Toronto. It's like Narvaez and Rafaela. Yep. I don't know if I'm counting on him every single at bat.
You're not.
But there is a flair for the dramatic there. And so, yeah, I like this matchup. This is the matchup that I wanted. Text line does say, Keith, aren't you nervous about the late season trends with the Yankees kicking the Sox ass? Red Sox won a lot in the beginning. I mean, the Red Sox won a series. The Red Sox won 3 of 4 in late August.
Yeah.
They did drop 2 of 3.
They lost 2 of 3 a couple weeks back.
Yeah, at home in the middle of September. Yeah. But they won on Sunday Night Baseball. It's like,
and the game they won was a crochet game.
They lost one series to the Yankees all year. And it was the most recent one, so I'm not saying it's not relevant, but am I freaking out about the most recent trend? The Red Sox won the last game they played. Uh-huh. And as you said, it was a crochet game.
Uh-huh.
So, No, I'm not nervous about that, meaning the late season trend. Could they lose to the Yankees? Sure. I don't think it's automatic by any means. But that doesn't make me nervous about the way it's going down. But Friday night was great. Rafaela walking it off. Cora, just as you said, Keith, managed a monster of a game. And they came through when they needed to make the weekend stress-free.
Yeah.
Because it felt pretty stressful on Friday night, and you're like, oh, God.
No, it shouldn't be.
Well, it's Connelly early, yeah. And then what are they doing again on Sunday? And it didn't get to it because they walked it off Friday night, and it lets everybody reset, relax, and get ready for this tomorrow.
It was a bit of a roller coaster just because last week at this time, they had an off day on Monday. We were like, this is going to be like, get ready for this week. And then it was back-to-back wins. You're like, oh, this is going to be over early. And then it wasn't, right? Then you lose, and then the Astros win. And you're like, oh, this isn't going to go into the weekend, is it?
Yeah.
And then they're down 3-0 in the game on Friday, and you're like, oh, is this going to come down to Saturday? And then you're like looking at the pitching matchups. You're like, wait, what the hell? You're like, your head was just spinning. But not only do they go in like really the only way they should have gone in was with a walk-off hit like that. Fenway Park going crazy. And now they're all ready to go for the season. They cap off a 89 win season. Pretty great. Although Alex Cora.
Okay, I was just gonna get to this. So real quick, what sort of shot are you giving the Red Sox against the Yankees now that we know the matchup? It's Toronto waiting after that if you want to get ahead of yourselves.
I give them a great chance.
What sort of chance are you giving them to go on a run beginning with the Yankees? 617-779-7937. So you just brought this up. Alex Cora. This was a Saturday after they clinched?
I think they clinched, yeah.
He said, let's be honest. Nobody, and I'm reading here from Christopher Smith, let's be honest, nobody thought they were going to make it, we were going to make it, rather, in October when the season started. Whoever says, yeah, we were a playoff team, that's effing BS, to be honest with you.
You sure about that?
Nobody thought we were going to make it to October. It was New York, it was Baltimore, it was Toronto, you know, and we believe we were going to play in October. We set our standards every single day, and we hit our standards.
I can't speak for everybody. Yeah. But I can't speak for everybody on this show.
Yeah.
We did our predictions like we did for all the teams, and this way we can be right, wrong, or in between. All four of us had them making the playoffs. I think all four of us had them winning the division. Lanny had them winning the World Series.
Lanny,
you and Nick had them losing the World Series. I had them in the ALCS.
Lanny has the Red Sox over the Phillies. That's a World Series that's still alive.
Sure is.
I had the Phillies over the Red Sox in the World Series. Nick had the Braves over the Red
it
Sox.
It won't be the Braves.
So that one's not happening. But three people on this show had them in the World Series.
No.
One of us had them winning it, and you had them again in the ALCS.
In the ALCS. And yes. So you know what was funny? So I saw those comments that he made over the weekend, and I was like, did we make a graphic? And I couldn't find the graphic of all of our predictions.
You know, I couldn't either. I was trying to find that.
I thought we did. But
I thought we did too.
I couldn't find it. So then I put into Google. I was like, Jones and Keefe Red Sox season predictions. Like just as like a long shot.
Yeah.
And boom, Google AI pops up and it has like a breakdown of what we thought about the Red Sox, including it says optimistic prediction. And then it says March 2025 with link, and it goes, division and pennant winners. One perspective from Jones and Keefe was that the Red Sox would win the AL East with 93 wins and go on to win the American League pennant, losing only in the World Series. I'll be like, that is pretty accurate. And I also don't understand how that works.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how they figure that out. I mean, it's the internet, so they know everything. But.
I think a lot. Oh yeah, it's up on Twitch right now. Yeah. Twitch.tv/BostonWEI. So I think a lot of people have the Red Sox. I don't know what he's talking about.
So
a lot of people had them in the playoffs.
This isn't full Rodney Harrison, like in 03, 04, being like, nobody thought we could do it. It's like everybody thought you could do it. In fact, we were shocked that you wouldn't. Or even like Tom Brady when they beat the Chiefs, he's like, everybody thinks we suck. It's like nobody has ever said that you suck. But it's kind of like that. Like, I don't know where he's coming from. Like, I guess he's trying to lower the bar so much that like it looks like he did like the greatest job ever. But no. You were 500 a year ago, added Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman. We assumed you were going to be a lot better this year, and you were. But okay. Like, it's not like nobody thought that. Everybody
now,
thought that.
Now, if he wanted to say no one thought we were going to be a playoff team after the Devers trade, that he might be right about. Although, again, don't come talking to me and Keith.
Oh, true. True.
So, but that to me would be a more accurate statement.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people bailed when they traded Devers.
Yeah, people didn't love the Devers trade. Then okay. People didn't love the deadline.
So,
but preseason, you should be where you are.
Tons of people had the Red Sox in the playoffs in the offseason. We were among many. I think we were among few standing by the Red Sox chances of making the playoffs without Devers. And we were among the few that thought they'd be better off without Devers. So, of course, talking about that, fine. But he said before the year it was Baltimore and Toronto and the all I remember talking about is how bad the AL is and they should get in. And that's kind of what happened. Real quick, text line, 617-779-7937. Guys, the only rotten thing about Friday night was that it was an Apple TV broadcast.
Oh, that sucks. You're right.
The injustice.
Hopefully you're listening to it right here.
Of Dave O'Brien and Lou Maloney not being able to call that game. Like, the injustice of them not calling the game doesn't bother me.
Well, I heard Will Fleming call the game.
If it was a nationally televised game, it wouldn't bother me. But yeah, I mean, the whole Apple TV thing was a travesty. And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't get to watch.
Especially for the people that did watch it, they didn't have a score bug for about the first three innings. You had no idea what was going on.
I actually didn't know that.
I was
driving. I saw that when I came back. The internet was freaking out that there was no score bug for a long period of time. Which is why, good job, Apple. Not only could a lot of people not watch, but the people who could had no idea what was going on.
I'm going to once again forget to cancel my subscription.
Yeah, I'm stuck with it.
So that was indeed a mess. But if you were watching along, it was a great Friday night, and this week should be fun. You can discuss 617-779-7937. We'll get back to the Patriots on a Patriots Monday. Drake May already ahead of schedule. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Drake, is this kind of the best version of yourself, like kind of taking what the defense gives you, moving the ball around, managing the football? Like, is this who you project to be and who you want to be moving forward?
Yeah, sure. I sure hope so. If he leads to wins, you know, that's what I'm trying to, you know, become and the quarterback I'm trying to become. You know, I've, you know, tried to do it, you know, kind of just, you know, my whole career kind of like spread it around and give it to the guys that they can make plays. And, you know, I think everybody's got some, you know, chance on our team, you know, our skill guys to make the defense, you know, give them a problem. And I think we got guys in the team that are great with the football in their hands and just trying to do my best job of getting to them quick and don't hold it.
Another strong performance out of Drake May yesterday. Now, they didn't need him to do a ton.
No.
And they didn't ask him to throw it a whole lot.
Very efficient.
When he did maybe the most efficient performance of Drake May's career, turnovers were dialed back. The only turnover-worthy play that I remember anyway was his first throw of the day where he threw into double or triple coverage and almost threw a pick. He had as many touchdowns, two through the air, one on the ground. What do you call them again, Keith?
Darts and scampers.
Yeah, two darts, one scamper.
Yeah. A dart can also just be a big play downfield.
Good point. It doesn't necessarily need to be a touchdown.
It wasn't a touchdown.
Great point.
The scampers typically are touchdowns.
You typically want to get in the end zone.
You have
on
a big gainer.
You could.
Yeah.
So he had as many touchdowns as he had in completions yesterday and largely looked in control. We talked to Hunter Henry. The touchdown throw to Hunter Henry is an exceptional Drake May play where he is rolling to his left, gets it to Henry. Henry had a nice run after the catch. If you want to give credit to Pop Douglas blocking on that play, you can too. It was one of the few plays he was out there. So you look at how Drake is playing, and we did some of this last week.
Yeah.
How does he compare through 3 weeks to Josh Allen? How does he compare through three weeks to Justin Herbert? Not present day, those guys, but where they were at 3 weeks into their second season. And he already compares favorably. Where he was lagging was the wins and the turnovers. We got a win. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn it over. And he's playing really good football right now.
Four games in, and you know these are always risky to do their projections, but four games, decent sample size. It's a growing sample size week by week, but essentially a quarter of the way through the season, he is on pace.
Good.
For like a 30-touchdown season. Yeah. Passing, not even the rushing, just passing touchdowns. He's on pace for 30 of them, and he's on pace for just under 4,200 yards passing. Now, you remember his over-under to begin the year was something like 3,220.
Yeah.
So he's still, you know, he can even have some not, he doesn't have to have this type of performance week in and week out and still smash the over. He's also completing 74% of his passes. And not to give away all of Keefe's keys here, Jones, for the week.
Please don't.
When he throws a pick this year, they haven't won. And when he runs in a touchdown, they've won every time.
Hmm.
So just something that you keep your eyes on. Obviously, the turnover stat is very, very simple. But if he's not turning it over, the offense is in a great spot and they can be, you know, fairly dangerous. And then if he is, they become much more pedestrian. But I think even through four games, to think that, all right, this guy's on pace for a 30-touchdown pass season is pretty promising.
I easily would have taken the under on that.
Yep.
So real quick, do you know who leads the NFL in completion percentage? 74%.
Drake May. Hell yeah.
Now, not everybody's played yet. Like, for instance, Tua, if he's super accurate tonight, I guess maybe you could track him down. It would take a lot of work. But with two games remaining, two Monday night games tonight, four quarterbacks to play, Drake May leads the NFL in completion percentage. If you had to guess where Drake May is in yards, Keith, 988 yards through four games. Again, not everybody has played four games. But where do you think that ranks?
Seventh.
Sixth.
Sixth? All right.
Touchdowns. This is just passing touchdowns. Drake May this season has Joe Castiglione.
How many?
Seven!
He has seven of them.
Okay.
Where do you think that ranks?
Seven!
No, close.
Nine?
Eighth.
Eighth!
Quarterback rating, I think you gave this away.
Oh, I already had
today,
this.
Keith.
I had this number.
109.4, that's fifth in the league.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, those are the makings of a top 10 quarterback.
Right. If I had to sit down and actually rank it, is he a top 10 quarterback in the league? I probably wouldn't put him in the top 10 yet. A few more weeks, another month or two of this, maybe I'd change my mind on that. But he's playing like a top 10 quarterback right now. I don't know if he's actually a top 10 quarterback, but through the first 4 weeks of the year, he's certainly playing like one. And that does let you know he's on that same trajectory as the Josh Allens and Justin Herberts of the world. If you want him to reach that status, if he keeps doing this, he will reach that status, especially if you get wins like he got yesterday.
Well, yeah, and that's what's promising, too, about this stretch. And I'm not trying to ignore the turnovers from the Pittsburgh game, but the Miami game I still think is his best game he's ever played. But this was a close second, and it really was a pretty good overall performance in the Pittsburgh game. So it's not like, oh, we haven't seen him look this good since, and you got to like really go back
to last year.
No, he's kind of stacking up some pretty good performances, and you can see where this is going. And I think, you know, just his connection to Steph Diggs yesterday is reason for positivity, because you're like, it seemed like earlier it was like he and Hunter Henry, even in the Miami game, it was Stevenson in the passing game. But it was like, all right, you're kind of working with some of these other guys, but the receivers haven't really gotten it going yet. And now we get Steph Diggs very much involved. So now if you can kind of like add all that together, it's a great sign for kind of where he can continue to go the rest of the season.
Yeah. Now, look, and I don't know where the Bills rank defensively, but it's got to be better than Carolina. Mm. So, you know, how's he going to face off against real defenses when he gets them? If he gets them this year, the schedule's ridiculously easy. But even a team like Cleveland's a horrible team. Their defense has been awesome. So maybe he'll get tested against better defenses. Maybe he'll get tested against better teams.
Bills defense, 17th in points, 10th in yards.
Okay. So, yeah, again.
They're really bad against the run, too.
Yeah. And, well, Henry killed him week one. That's true.
Yes,
yeah,
so that's probably skewed.
I mean, Kamara and Miller yesterday ran all over him.
Okay, fair. So maybe they've been poor all year against the run.
Again, Cerberus backfield can have a big game.
My point is you're not going to get the Carolina defense every single week is my point.
Right.
So maybe those
just
numbers
most weeks.
Maybe those numbers come down because you're not going to face that same team or that easy of a schedule every single week. But I do think there's room for it to grow. You just highlighted it. Steph Diggs. Diggs, week one was fine.
Yeah.
Weeks two and three, kind of invisible. Yesterday is the best game that he had. So I think not only is what he's doing sustainable, Keith, against some of these opponents, but there's room for it to grow. If his connection with Diggs can grow and Diggs can look healthier and healthier, further removed from the ACL surgery, if he's not vintage Steph Diggs, right, a bona fide number one, he's this team's clear-cut number one, and that can continue to grow. And even if he's going to level off a little bit in some ways, that's an area where it should continue to expand and get better.
Plus, like the X factor that is his running ability, and yesterday really wasn't a day where he had to do it, nor should he have done it. He got him on the board, or, you know, Marcus Jones got him on the board, but then their first offensive possession, or first offensive score, I should say, was him running it in. So you know he's capable of it, but just sort of pick and choose, you know, when the right time is for him to run. He clearly has that ability to do so. And, yeah, finding, like, the new favorite receiver or getting on the same page with some of these guys going forward. But, you know, four games in with Josh McDaniels, I'll toss him some credit, too. Those two guys kind of working together for the first time. Already better than expected.
Look, I'll toss McDaniels some credit.
Yeah.
Some are going, but the McDaniels...
I'm not going to go nuts.
The McDaniels mafia is out in full force today. They're like, oh, he's in his bag. Yeah. And it's like, well, I mean, I don't know. Marcus Jones kind of gave him a lot of short fields yesterday. I'd focus more on that than anything.
Yeah.
But no, look, the McDaniels marriage is working a lot better than I thought, especially after the Raiders game week one, where we're like, is there too much on his plate? Are they on the same page? Are there already, you know, fractures
that's
in that
true
relationship?
Really good response. If you go back to that, like that moment, like the Monday after the Raiders game and then the subsequent couple of days in that conversation, that's been a great response.
So how are you feeling about your quarterback? Is he ahead of schedule? And can he keep it up with the growing relationship with Stephon Diggs? Speaking of that, Patriots have their number one in the passing game. We'll get to it coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.